WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In July, a judge blocked federal immigration authorities from relying solely on factors including apparent race or ethnicity when conducting stops in several California counties. But today, the Supreme Court's conservative majority froze the temporary restraining order, clearing the way for the Trump administration to resume its sweeping immigration enforcement stops. CBS's Weijia Zhang reports.
The White House is responding to that Supreme Court ruling that lifts restrictions on roving ICE raids in Los Angeles, saying it reaffirms that, quote, lower activist judges are trying to impede the president from lawfully carrying out the American people's agenda.
President Trump has suggested he's ready to ramp up sanctions on Moscow after it launched a massive aerial attack on Ukraine. The president said he wasn't happy with the situation and would speak with Russia's Vladimir Putin. CBS's Holly Williams reports.
We spoke to one senior Ukrainian military official recently in Kyiv who told us that they think the real battle is for President Trump's mind. That is to try to make sure that President Trump understands who is responsible for starting the war and who is responsible for perpetuating it.
Last month was the third hottest August globally on record. CBS's Tracy Wolf.
The last 12 months, going back to September 2024, have continued to remain above average, measuring 1.52 degrees Celsius higher than the pre-industrial era of 1850 to 1900.
At least 19 people have died in protests in Nepal around the parliament building over a decision by the government to ban social media. More from CBS's Chanel Cole.
Now, at first, police were there. They tried to fire tear gas. They used water cannons, but they were simply outnumbered by this massive crowd there. Eventually, they had to resort to using force, the commissioner's office says, opening fire at some of those protesters.
Nepal has since lifted its ban on some of the world's largest platforms, including Facebook, X, and YouTube. And Nepal's prime minister has just ordered an investigation into the deadly protests. Experts say a ship likely cut cables in the Red Sea, disrupting internet access in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. Paramount, the parent company of CBS News, names an ombudsman.
CBS News has named Kenneth R. Weinstein as its ombudsman to review editorial concerns raised by employees, viewers, and listeners. Weinstein previously served as president and CEO of the Washington, D.C.-based conservative think tank Hudson Institute. Paramount president Jeff Shell says, at a time when trusted media is more important than ever, this new role reinforces our commitment to truth, trust, and accountability. Weinstein was President Trump's nominee in 2017 to serve as U.S. ambassador to Japan and was also chairman of the Broadcasting Board of Governors.
This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers in the Lone Star State tonight, opening a three-game series against the Texas Rangers. Milwaukee with a 10-2 win over the Pirates yesterday in Pittsburgh, completing a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says that 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski learned a few lessons pitching into the seventh inning.
I can only tell you this is a great learning experience for him, and he answered the bell today and did a very, very nice job.
College football, the Badgers now preparing to play number 19th-ranked Alabama. It's Wisconsin beating Middle Tennessee State 42-10 over the weekend. The Packers celebrating a decisive 27-13 win over the Lions. Matt LaFleur grateful to the 77,000 fans who attended, but didn't like there were so many Lions fans in the stands.
The fans that showed up brought great energy, and the fans that sold their tickets to all those Lions fans got to be better.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy and breezy south winds for the overnight as temperatures drop into the mid-50s. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, lower 70s. Watch out for some shower chances in the afternoon. That threat of rain and thunderstorms will continue into Tuesday night. It's 60 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently out vacating, resting, relaxing, deservingly. And we are here to welcome you back to the show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a lot coming up here today. At 10:52, we have This Shouldn't Be a Thing, which we are going to be featuring the Brick by Brick edition today, so you don't want to go anywhere. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And you can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform in this house we still call Twitter. Very, very excited to have our next guests here. They are from the group Groundswell Collective, and they got in touch. We saw a press release come through by way of them about bus services in Walworth County. Yeah. And then when I kept reading and we kept talking about it, there's so much they're working with. Groundswell Collective is here today. Our guests are Jeremiah Gomez.
That's correct.
And Marilyn Hayden.
Hayden.
My mistake, ma'am. My mistake. They're here today to talk about the work that Groundswell does, as well as all the initiatives they're working on, as well as just, as I said earlier, the power of people and the power of organizing, coming together to make change. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you both here today.
Oh, we're thrilled. Thank you.
Now, before we get started with the bus service discussion, as well as all the other things you're working on, tell us about Groundswell Collective. What do you do? Who do you service? And what is your ultimate goal?
Well, Groundswell, I think in a nutshell, is really just a group of people who have a shared desire to see the people of Walworth County thrive.
Yeah.
And so it's a group of people from many different ages, stages, and backgrounds who have found this shared affinity to say, what does it look like for us to pursue the thriving of our community together, especially those who may be underserved or kind of forgotten.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, especially in today's day and age, and we need to come together even more so as communities, as we're seeing various programs, funding's being cut. It's important to look around and say, all right, how do I involve myself with the people around me? And that's something that looking at what you're doing is exactly the plan, is saying, all right, let's take care of each other, because we might be all that we have. And I don't want to say you can't rely upon government, but it shouldn't be in situations like this. It's where we say, it's like, all right, we have to step forward and do the work first and take the bull by the horn.
Sure. And I think I can't speak for Marilyn, but I think, you know, for me, I was entering into a space where there's a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of concern. I'm seeing that among the people I love and serve. And I've got to say, by connecting with people like her and the others in our network, it's given me a renewed sense of hope and peace as we say there is an opportunity to lean forward and to see the very best as yet to come as we come together. And that's been really fun to see.
Marilyn, how is you, what do you, as far as the group goes, what are you involved with? What are you working on? What do you do for Groundswell Collective?
Well, right now I'm interested in the transportation. Mm-hmm. I'm visually impaired, legally blind, and I don't drive. So that put me in that category of people who are grounded, mm-hmm. because we have no way to get places.
And that's something that, you know, I've been in part of the conversation with for so long. I used to work for city government here in Racine.
Okay.
And one of the big, we saw the bus services being cut because of cuts from the state. We saw the state saying no thank you to a plan that it was very much in the infancy. There was no real blueprint, but we just said, how about we take some of all this money that you're putting towards rebuilding our roads and widening our freeways? How about we bring a metro line up to Racine so people from Racine could possibly have transportation to Chicago to get jobs? Like, that was, transportation was always something that was very high up on the mayor who I worked for, on his list. And it consistently is slapped down. I feel like transportation, especially in busing situations for folks like yourself, Marilyn, who you need that access. A lot of times our leaders don't truly understand how important it is, because I don't think it doesn't affect them to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And the lobbying that comes from them don't have the money that, say, you know, a gun lobby or a roads lobby has. So it's up to folks like yourself to come together, organize, and speak on behalf of folks like yourself, Marilyn, who need this transportation. And that's what you did. Mm-hmm. And that's what you did in Woolworth. And not only, and I don't want to give away the whole story, but it came together and it worked in stunning fashion. Can you tell the story of what you all did to get more more hours on the buses in Woolworth County?
Yeah, I mean, well, it started with an awareness that Woolworth County was the only county within its kind of status that didn't have a Sunday transportation option for people.
No, wait, none?
It did not have a public Sunday transportation option.
Right. Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is moving from something that wasn't available to, I can't remember quite what the numbers are, Marilyn, but I think it was, in January when it finally kicked off, I think it was around, did we say 20 riders?
20, I think.
And then in June, up to 200 in round figures. Yeah. So that shows that there's a real need there. How that happened were folks like Marilyn showing up at those county board meetings, budget meetings, mm-hmm. but it took really connecting with her and friends that she had and friends that we had and saying, we want our leaders to know this is a real felt need, that there are real faces and stories mm-hmm. who are connected to this need. And they were responsive.
And that, I think, is the most impressive. I shouldn't be impressed by that, but I'm impressed by leaders who listen nowadays. Mm. When you hear elected officials, whether they are local, state, or federal, listening to the people and saying, all right, Marilyn, you have a need. How do we meet that need? And I want to read the numbers because I have it in the press release here. In January, in Woolworth County, when this program started, because as you said, there was no Sunday ridership whatsoever, mm-hmm. which to me is mind-blowing, because I guess they just expected you to stay home. It was 40 trips that month in January. By June of this year, it was 229. In less than half a year, it went up by 472.5%.
Yeah.
That shows, one, to me, the power of organizing, doing exactly what you did. The leaders listening and implementing, and it becoming a return on investment because, you know, like you have to pay for the buses, the servicing, mm-hmm. the people who did. But it obviously, with 472.5% increase, that is a net benefit for everyone, whether you're riding or you're repairing the bus.
Or you have an employee who needs to be able to get to work,
mm-hmm.
or you're somebody who's looking to go to church and can't connect into meaningful community in that way. So we really have seen it be a beautiful thing.
I mean, what are you hearing from? As far as the Sunday services, because, you know, as I said before, in my experience, watching especially like evening hours being cut because they look at what are the easiest days, what are the easiest hours, and they don't want to do midday, they don't want to do weekdays, but evening hours, weekends, it's easy to cut. Do you see yourself expanding? Are there other needs for the bus services that are in Woolworth County that is needed besides Sunday? Or is this like, all right, we got this done, let's move on to the next thing?
I think there's a desire to see those services expand.
Yeah.
I think Marilyn would be better positioned to speak to that as a user of
yes.
that.
I've been using the bus service for some time because we have had it. And originally it was, I probably think I'm maybe 15 or 20 years that I've been familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It really started out as transportation for handicapped people and seniors.
Yeah.
Just to doctor's appointments and that type of thing. So it has expanded over time. And it's gotten better all the time.
Okay.
But it's still, I was really pleased to when it expanded to other people
mm-hmm.
that maybe just didn't have a car or whatever and had other reasons to get from place to place. And that was, so that was very good. And that, but it was still weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expanded it to Saturdays and over the last few years. And then Sundays when we found out that it needed a little bit of a push.
Yeah.
So we were really glad that they expanded it to Sundays. And then Sundays is not just for church services, but other activities as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and that is for me personally, feel that makes me feel very good that it's something where you as a user of the bus system are seeing it grow and expand and service the community beyond just its original group, but mm-hmm. For everybody who needs it or everybody who just wants it too. I mean, some people want to take the bus. Some people are like, I don't need a car. I have a close family member who is perfectly able to drive, but she's like, I'd rather take the bus. I'd rather take the train.
Mm-hmm.
She also lives in a city that has wonderful and high tech transportation. Mass transit is a whole other discussion point we can get to when it comes to Wisconsin. But if you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we're speaking to Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden from Groundswell Collective. And they're talking about all the work they're doing. And really, we're talking about the power of organizing, the power of people coming together and working towards a goal. And the goal of getting Sunday service in Walworth County, which the fact that there was nothing blows my mind. I mean, it just, like, to me, a county saying we're not going to be able to take people around on Sunday is, I want to say, borderline offensive, because I feel like it puts aside a whole group of individuals who need that access. To me, mass transit, local transit, bus services is something that is vital in a community. And you came together with 472.5% increase to show for it. And that's just wonderful to listen to. It's wonderful to read. I'm so happy you all could be here today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah. There are other things that you are all working on. It is not just about busing. It is about a whole host of other, you basically have a whole, you know, platter of things you're discussing, and we're going to keep that conversation going. If you have any questions for Groundswell Collective, because if you live in areas around Wisconsin and you want to know more, but this is about organizing and ask your questions. We want to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform we still call Twitter. And how long has Groundswell Collective been around as a group?
I mean, it really launched organically out of the Sunday transportation thing.
Yeah.
And so I could look back and see when we started formally, but it's not that long. I think we've been connecting probably for about a year.
Yeah.
That's great.
Is really what we've been doing.
I mean, and you think about that too, in the world of organizing, to get together over the past year and a half and you've already achieved this. That shows the community that you mean business and you can get things done by working together. And if you want to find out more, you can go to their Facebook page. They are on Facebook, Groundswell Collective, and you can follow them. You can find out what's going on. If you live in Walworth County, you can absolutely get in touch with them, get in touch with us, find out more. But we are talking to Groundswell Collective right now. We're going to come back and discuss, I believe there's going to be a child care summit coming up and then a call for a day of action for care. And we will be talking more about that with Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden. And you are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, if you want to call or text, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Don't go far. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who's currently vacating and will be back before you know it. She misses you. She loves you. And if you want to get in contact with us, the number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on the platforms that of Facebook, YouTube, and what we still call Twitter in this house. Still upcoming is at 10:52. We have This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Brick by Brick Edition. But for right now, we are talking to two new friends from Groundswell Collective in Woolworth County. I'm speaking to Jeremiah Gomez as well as Marilyn Hyden. They are both members of this organizing group, Grassroots, working for the people. And before we went to break, we were talking about the amazing, amazing work you did to get ridership in Woolworth County on Sunday with 472.5% increase on ridership in 6 months. That's amazing work. And something that I want to clarify, though, because when I think of when I saw this and I think of ridership, I think of the bus.
Sure.
We're not talking about the public bus. We're talking about a program that gets you ridership on Sunday because, you, as you said, there's no bus.
That's correct.
So that is, that adds another level to the conversation that kind of makes me like, what do you mean you don't have a bus? That's for another day. But like, it is a whole different system that you have as far as ridership goes. Can you explain that really quickly to me and to the listeners? Sure. So they can delineate?
Sure. So Marilyn, when you're looking for a ride, how do you get that set up?
I call the VIP services in Elkhorn, and they schedule me for my time, whatever I want. And then it's a van, mostly. They're different kinds of vans, all the way from a SUV type to where they could carry a wheelchair. And they'll schedule me for my ride to come and pick me up, take me to my place, pick me up and take me home if I wish.
Yeah.
And it's at a very reasonable price.
Okay.
For anywhere in Woolworth County.
Great. And okay, because that, yeah, like I said, I apologize. I thought we were just talking about Sunday bus service, and that alone, I'm like, why don't you have a bus Walworth County? But that just makes me even happier than that you now have the access to that, and that it is affordable, because, you know, nowadays we see prices going up on everything. The fact that you can afford to get a ride to where you need to go is important. There's also another thing too, in the press release that you, and Marilyn, off air, you mentioned you wanted to talk about too, and it's a very big problem. It's this service also helps people combat isolation, loneliness, because, I mean, that's not a new thing in this world, of course, but the pandemic, and I know from my experience watching people, my family get older, there's a tendency to isolate, to not go out as much for their reasons. And I'm not going to criticize nor get into it right now, but this is also not just about getting people where they need to be, but getting them out in the world and talking to people. Tell me more about that and the importance of it.
Well, isolation is a deadly disease almost in the country, and people are stuck at home. They can't get out.
Yeah.
Don't have a network of friends and family that can get them places, and even, you know, shopping and to other more entertainment bases, like to the movies or something like that. And they really need to have that option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I imagine just Groundswell Collective, too, when I think about it, you know, you are a collective. You are the people. Even if it's just getting to a meeting, it gets you out in the world. It gets you talking to people. It gets you connected over coffee or a meal, or as you were doing, a mission. You have a mission with your group. And I think that's, you know, maybe an unthought of aspect that is a positive, which is to get people out there connecting, because it's so easy to be at your computer. It's so easy to be on your phone. I can contact all my quote friends on my phone, but really, it's about, as you said, getting out in the world and connecting, whether it's for a doctor's appointment or going to the movies. So I think that's a fantastic aspect to discuss, especially when it comes to what you are doing at Groundswell Collective. We're going to keep that conversation going to two big events, one taking place tonight and one then tomorrow. But if you have any questions or comments, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC is the number. You can always call or comment. You know, Jeremiah, like, what is your, do you yourself have any experience in organizing before you got involved with this group?
No, I mean, the reason I got connected is I'm a pastor in the county, and I just saw a need and found some connection with others who were wanting to really pursue thriving. And like, how can we do that? You mentioned, you know, seeing people, getting together. Life on life connection. That's so, so important.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found is that for whatever reason, over the past year, I've been able to meet with civic leaders at the national level, at the state level, at the county level, at the local level. And I haven't yet, in those in-person meetings, I haven't yet met somebody who isn't genuinely trying to serve the people.
Yeah.
You know, and they may do that in a different way than I would.
Yeah.
But it's been so good for me to have those connections. And I celebrate that the people in Walworth County, our leaders there, are so open to conversations, to hearing from the people. Maybe not on every issue. You know, you get those things where people have their own perspective.
Yeah.
But one of the great things we've learned about with organizing is how to have conversations that invite a different perspective when somebody might seem entrenched in a different perspective.
Because, and we say this all the time, when, you know, it's easy to isolate ourselves off into our social media worlds, but when we sit in a room together and we talk about what we want and what we need, it usually crosses paths. It usually connects. It really comes together, and the general things we want in this world, we agree with.
Yes.
And we want to talk about how we're going to be organizing more, how you're going to be organizing more tonight and tomorrow with Groundswell Collective as our guests. Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden are here today talking about all the work they're doing in Walworth County. And you can be a part of the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're going to be right back. Don't go far. Stay hydrated. Stay amazing. You're awesome. We're on Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Matinee on Air.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. A win for the Trump administration. The Supreme Court cleared the way for sweeping immigration enforcement stops in the Los Angeles area to resume. Mayor Karen Bass.
This isn't just an attack on the people of Los Angeles. This is an attack on every person in this city and in every city in our country.
It is official. It was really hot last month, the third hottest August globally on record. But climate reporter Tracy Wolf tells us
it was slightly cooler than the previous record setters of August 2023 and 2024. Sea surface temperatures were also the third highest on record for the month, according to Copernicus.
In Nepal's capital, at least 19 people were killed during protests after the government blocked about two dozen social media platforms, including Facebook, X, and YouTube. The apps have now been restored after the violence. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the Lone Star State tonight, opening a three-game series against the Texas Rangers. Milwaukee with a 10-2 win over the Pirates yesterday in Pittsburgh, completing a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says that 23-year-old Jacob Mizorowski learned a few lessons pitching into the seventh inning.
I can only tell you this is a great learning experience for him, and he answered the bell today and did a very, very nice job.
College football, the Badgers now preparing to play number 19th-ranked Alabama. It's Wisconsin beating Middle Tennessee State 42-10 over the weekend. The Packers celebrating a decisive 27-13 win over the Lions. Matt LaFleur grateful to the 77,000 fans who attended, but didn't like there were so many Lions fans in the stands.
The fans that showed up brought great energy, and the fans that sold their tickets to all those Lions fans got to be better.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a documentary that will make your life look pretty boring, check out AKA Charlie Sheen, a new doc that drops on Netflix this week. The Inside Look is a two-parter that explores his three marriages, movie career where his credits include Platoon, Wall Street, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and the hit sitcom Two and a Half Men. The 60-year-old Sheen also talks about his various addictions, mental health breakdown in 2011, where he claims to have had tiger blood, and is firing from Two and a Half Men for drug use. And Sheen is well aware that anytime you self-promote with a new movie or book, you do need spicy new material. So the actor is now saying he has also had sex with lots of men, and it all started when he was smoking crack. I tip my hat to the producers who somehow managed to cram all that into just two parts. AKA Charlie Sheen drops September 10th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy and breezy south winds for the overnight as temperatures drop into the mid-50s. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, lower 70s. Watch out for some shower chances in the afternoon. That threat of rain and thunderstorms will continue into Tuesday night. It's 60 at our studios.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans. Just a bit outside, director Sean Hannish joins with big news and the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, and we'll be back before you know it. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get in touch if you'd like. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. And if you don't have the app, get it right now. You can do that by going to your app store of choice, whether it's the Apple Store or whether it's Google Play Store. Download the Civic Media app. Listen to us wherever you'd like, anywhere in the world. We've gotten text messages from Vienna, New Zealand, Germany, New Jersey. New Jersey, friends. But you can do that by getting the Civic Media app on your device. That way you can also call and text us. You can leave a voice note. And if we're doing a giveaway, like our text to win free ticket Friday contest we're doing this Friday too, you have to have that app to participate. So Civic Media app, get it in your life. You'll be all the better for it. And your friends will be jealous until they get it themselves. Then you'll have something to connect on. Speaking of connecting, I am connecting with two new friends here. I'm talking to Jeremiah Gomez, as well as Marilyn Hayden from Groundswell Collective, talking about the amazing work they're doing as organizing for their community within the people, doing the good work, raising the voices, getting things done, like getting Sunday ridership in Walworth County for those who need it, telling great stories here. And something that's happening tonight and tomorrow, we've got ourselves a child care summit, as well as a call to action for tomorrow. Can you both tell us about what's going to be happening tonight?
Yeah, so tonight is a conversation. It's a summit on childcare. We're inviting families, people who have young children in their lives, who are wanting to connect again with other people and just share story, share an awareness of what are the needs that they're facing. It's not news that childcare is affordable, ready, accessible. Childcare is a pretty persistent need that we hear. And so tonight there's a conversation at 5:30 at the Spark Play Studio in Elkhorn. It's going to run from 5:30 to 7:30. And it's a community conversation where it's just kind of trying to discover what are the shared needs, what are the ways and the stories that are being told, and is that a space where we can invite people to, again, try to find a path forward toward that accessible childcare that's needed.
It's a conversation we've had a lot on this show. We've spoken to Corrine Hendrickson, who is now a former child care giver. She had to close her business as of last month because of the, you know, the budget was passed, and that and it was a bipartisan budget, but unfortunately the child care funding did not meet the needs of those who are in that industry. And we're going to see the closure, unfortunately, which means more need from folks in Walworth County, in all the counties around Wisconsin. That is a conversation. And we talked about this also on air, or I'm sorry, off air, that this is always a top five topic from Wisconsinites. Is childcare access, having to do with education, and the fact that we need a serious investment from the state to really keep that accessible for those parents who need it. And most parents do. I mean, if you have the ability to be in a one income home and someone can stay home, that's great. If you can choose to do that. But we need to be able to have options. And on the other side of that coin, those who run those childcare centers, who, and I really feel like when we talk about this, we really should be saying early education, because I think a lot of times when we speak about childcare, we just think babysitting. Oh, they're going to drop them off. They're going to play a little bit in the backyard. I'm going to give them some snacks, and then I'm going to pick them up at you know, 2:30 or whatever. But it's not. These are institutions. These are educational learning places where they're learning early developmental skills, and those who run them need to have the resources to keep it going. They need to be paid a certain amount. They need to have the access to funding to have the right materials. So this is, I'm interested to know what the said at this sit down you're going to have tonight, because I feel like everyone's going to be looking at each other saying, yeah, we need this. We need partnership from the state as well.
Well, and I think you're right. There's a tremendous opportunity. It's a developmental stage in the lives of families and kids where, like, we have an opportunity to invite them. We're talking about thriving and flourishing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can position a child early on toward thriving and flourishing, great education, man, that changes everything.
Yep.
And I think part of the conversation tonight is an invitation to fresh imagination. Like, if we could imagine something new, different, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. One of the conversations we've had at Groundswell is we know at our county nursing facility, there's a wing that is vacant and available and that they need to do something with. And we've just started asking the question, what would it look like? Is it possible to have some sort of intergenerational space there? Yeah. Something where you can meet a need for senior care and great, effective, quality intergenerational child care. What could that be? And it's not to say that that's going to happen, but it's mm-hmm. inviting a different conversation. And so tonight's conversation is that, what does fresh imagination look like, I guess you could say? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to ask, how would your life change with childcare? If you could tell your county supervisor anything about childcare, what would it be? You know, what do yeah. they need to know?
Yeah.
Because as we were saying before, sometimes our leaders, they just don't know what they don't know.
And that, I'm glad you brought that up. And before we talk about tomorrow's call to action, I want to reiterate a point we discussed a while ago with an elected official and something that you brought up, Marilyn, off air as well. You bring up all these amazing points when we're off the air. You should be talking more and just give us all your nuggets of wisdom. But no, we talk about this a great deal on the show, and that is myvote.wi.gov. Mm. If you want to find out who represents you, you go there, you put your information in, and it will tell you everyone from the president down to your dog catcher if you still vote for a dog catcher. But that way you can get in touch with your county board supervisors. You can get in touch with your city or village council members, and as well as those higher up offices. But those local ones are important because, as we were once told, they may be aware of what's going on, but they don't understand the importance until yeah. they're real. Because they, I mean, their lives are very busy. They're doing a lot of things. They're, you know, if this is their only job, they're still, I mean, especially if they're a assembly member or a state senator, a lot going on. Until they know, they may never know. And for you to sit down and have this conversation and find out what the people of Walworth County mm-hmm. are looking for, and then you take it to county board supervisors, city councilors, mm-hmm. state elected officials, that's when they might be like, oh, I had no idea.
Right.
But so let's get working on this. We have a call on the line. Charles from Hayward. Charles, do you have a question or a comment on the power of organizing or things you're looking for in your community? What say you, my friend?
Yeah, so thanks for taking my call. I think one of the things my wife and I have observed in our time living in Hayward here is we have a spattering of in-home daycares. We have a couple good small daycares. And then on the LCO reservation here, they have an excellent large-scale daycare center. And we just see a greater need. Mm-hmm. We see a need for a larger facility in Hayward that can handle more children. And even though we're a small community here, we also have second and third shift workers, and that's an area where we're really lacking, mm-hmm. You know, people who work at Walmart overnight doing stocking and things like that. So my wife and I have been wondering, okay, how do we meet this need? How do we do this? What can we do with our entrepreneurial spirit? I'm a trained pastor. She's a trained nurse. We have a passion for children. We have a five-year-old of our own. You know, what we've discovered is that it's quite expensive to start a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
The resources that are available to guide you and coach you, get the training necessary, is actually somewhat lacking. We have a couple organizations that will help you, but you really have to be in the know before they can help you. And so we're looking for help, you know, whether it's financial partners, whether it's other leaders in the community who would come alongside us. I wonder if there's any resources that you could guide us to, or your guests could guide us to, in terms of how do we go about this process to really serve the children and the families of this community. And I'm sorry, I'm sitting in the parking lot of our grocery store, and I just witnessed an accident.
Oh no!
Oh no! Oh no! Well, Charles, if you need to go do something, go do something. You can always listen back. We have the shows online. You can listen for the answers. Or, you know, if you want to email us some questions, janesays@civicmedia.us, and we can get back in touch with you. If you got to go do your thing, we understand. But I appreciate your call, Charles, on that. And I guess, like, what I'm hearing from Charles is, you know, they have a great idea. Mm-hmm. They have a great, you know, more childcare, more access, especially for those second and third shift workers, because, you know, that might be the first thing to go.
Yeah.
During the day, daycare is probably a lot easier to find than say, oh, I can take your kids from 3 o'clock until 11.
For sure.
So, like, where do you move people on the needle towards the organization or the finding resources to find partnerships? What would you say?
Well, I think, you know, first it's, you probably have a network of some people who you're saying, hey, this is a shared story. This is a shared need. And what I've really appreciated is, you know, there are people who they know how to help organize community. They know how to help activate these conversations. And I know if he were to reach out to like our Groundswell group, mm-hmm. we might be able to connect him with somebody in the area who's got some awareness and ability to help rally people in that way. But I think the thing that begins a great movement is a shared story and conversation.
Yeah.
And so to connect with people who are like-minded, what I've experienced with Groundswell is I think all of us come with our great idea of how we're going to solve the problem. But the best ideas seem to come out of the room as you're having genuine, humble conversation with one another. And if you can establish that kind of environment, I think you'll be surprised at the amazing ideas that just get better and better, and the way that people will rally to them and want to activate them.
I would also say if you're going to have that conversation, it's also a good idea. I shouldn't say best. It's a good idea to have local business leaders in the room.
For sure.
And business leaders of all types, because you may have someone who has access to a space or has access to funding and says, oh, is this what you need? I can provide this. I can partner, or I know a group of people. So I think if you're going to have that conversation too, I would invite local, you know, civic leaders, business leaders, folks who are affected. And I would also say too, like, and I've made this point before, like, I don't have children, but I voted yes on the Kenosha ballot to up my property taxes to fund the public school, because I see a fundamental need to fund public schooling. Because even though I don't have a child, I still benefit from children who get a good education. And you said that earlier too, like when you get a kid into early developmental education, that puts them on a different path, and that path can also benefit the community. And we only have about a minute left, so I want you to talk really quickly about tomorrow's event, though.
Sure.
So you have the event tonight, which leads into the call to action tomorrow.
Yeah, and so tomorrow is an opportunity to tell our elected officials this is a need that we have, that we need. And so that's at 3:30. There's a committee meeting at the Walworth County building where we're inviting people to share the story that they have. Where it's not an invitation to you know, strong arm anybody or anything like that. It's really to just say, hey, we know you may not know. This is a need. This is a need that we are sharing, and we're committed to finding a solution. Will you help us do that?
You can find out more by going to Groundswell Collective's Facebook page to find out the information. It's going to be taking place tonight, the conversation, and then the day of action, the call to action tomorrow. Jeremiah Gomez, thank you so much for being here. Marilyn Hayden, thank you so much for being our guest today. Groundswell Collective, doing the good work of the people. You can find out more by listening to civicmedia.us/shows. We're going to have this all up for you to listen to in case you need to catch up. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Coming up after the break, we're going to get some snacks. It is This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Brick by Brick edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when? Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating. She's out there in the world. I don't know in the world where she is, but she's missing you and she loves you. And she'll be back before you know it. And you can get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. I really want to thank Jeremiah Gomez and Marilyn Hayden and Thomas Galke. You didn't see Thomas. He wasn't on the screen, but he helped organize this entire thing. They are from Groundswell Collective. They came to the studios this morning to talk about the power of people and the power of organizing, something that I firmly believe deep in my heart is the way you get things done, by coming together and coming towards a common goal and getting it achieved. But you can always listen to that interview, by the way, by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Go to the Matt and Air on Air. You're going to download today's episode. It's going to be the second hour, or just, you know, all the hours. Just download all the hours. You can always listen to them anytime you want by downloading them directly to your device. You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. Very simple to do. If you do that, please drop us a 5-star review, because when you do that, it helps with ratings and it helps with visibility. So thank you very much. But yeah, listen to the interview. Charles and Hayward, if you were listening, if you need information, please contact us. Anyone who wants to get in touch with us, JANESAYS, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin, it was a flurry of a show. It's over almost. It was like this weekend, Calvin. How are you feeling? It's just like your hair's blowing back. It's going so fast.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind, but we made it through the Monday show.
We did it together. And together, we're going to close this show out with another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Again, if you have a thing that should not be, send it in to Calvin, Jane, and me. That's a new song. I'm never going to give you the same song twice. It's always going to be a new song. You can send it to Janesays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. You can also send us stories for guests, basic questions. Hey, people who don't like us get in touch that way too. It's fine. We love you still, and we want to hug you. But we're going to keep the show going and round it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Brick by Brick edition. There is a video component. It comes to us via UPI. The famous Ben Hooper is back. Calvin found another gem from Ben Hooper. Here is the headline, and I just want you to prepare yourself. I don't want to say it's a trigger warning per se, but you will feel something in your whole body when I say this title. Barefoot woman breaks record for running across Lego bricks. Ow. A New Zealand woman showed the strength of her soles when she ran barefoot over 100 meters of loose Lego bricks in 24.75 seconds. Gabrielle Wall broke the Guinness World Record. Again, I don't understand it, Calvin. Someone had to think of this, Calvin.
Well, Greg.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah.
So stepping on a Lego is a bit of a meme of supposedly a really shocking and painful thing.
Have you ever stepped on a Lego?
Yes, and I think it is exaggerated. It is not a pleasant experience, but it is not like as bad as some people make it out to be.
Obviously, you've only stepped on the flat tubers. You've never stepped on like a full-blown 8 thick in a half an inch brick and just jammed it into the bottom of your foot. You don't know, Cal. Your generation is soft. You don't know things, Calvin. That's what I thought.
This is going to take you by surprise, maybe.
You've never played with Lego?
No. I'm not a big shoe wearer at home, like, or even socks. I tend to walk around outside of my yard without shoes on.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll walk across the flower bed with rocks on it without socks on, and it's not that bad. I feel like I got tough feet. Maybe I should sign up and try to set
this
record.
I feel like you're just putting yourself up to challenge Miss Wall here to break the world record. Fastest 100-meter barefoot on Lego brick. That's an award, folks. That's a real thing. She attempted the 320-foot-8 sprint in Christchurch, New Zealand. I think I'm going to start calling you Calvin Rocks No Socks Butenhoff here. With Mr. Tough Feet, you're like, I don't know if you know this, guys, but I got pretty tough feet. Have you ever stepped on a Pez dispenser? That's a new level of pain that makes you wish it was a Lego. I stepped on one this year, and I thought I crumbled like just a piece of laundry on the floor.
I guess now the larger question is why you have Pez dispensers on the floor.
It was one Pez dispenser. It was a Darth Vader Pez dispenser. You do the math. It all makes sense when I say that.
You're right. It all adds up now.
The track was covered in 661 pounds. I like how it was 661, just, you know, of Lego bricks donated by Imagination Station in New Zealand, a nonprofit that uses Lego pieces for robotics and mechanics education. That's very cool. Wall spent 2 months building up calluses in preparation for her attempt, even attempting a wedding without shoes. I'm fascinated by this. Actually, should this not be a thing? I think it should. It is a thing. Calvin, what do you think?
You know, it seems very Australian, but they're not
New
Australian.
Zealand. Yeah,
like,
New Zealand.
You would think of New Zealand as the like more uppity cousins of Australia.
Dang, dude.
Well, I like New Zealand. It sounds like the people there seem cool.
Yeah.
But they seem a little more refined.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, in America, we just eat the Legos. That's what we would do. But that brings us to the end. And good luck to her. You know, hope your feet are doing well. Good luck to you. Thank you, Ben Hooper. That brings us to the end of another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Cal. Thank you, engineering. Thank you, traffic. Thank you all who make it go on behind the scenes. Without you, we couldn't get this done. Thank you to the listeners, to the viewers, commentators, texters, callers. Without you, there is no us. Stick right here, because after the news is going to be Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, 4 to 6 is Maggie Dawn, and 6 to 8 is Pete Schwabo with Nightlife. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay amazing. You are absolutely wonderful. Let no one tell you differently. This is Matt and Air on Air. Have a wonderful Monday. We will talk to you tomorrow morning.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. House Democrats have released a copy of a birthday note that was allegedly written by the president to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. CBS's Scott McFarlane has the latest from Washington.
The message apparently bears the signature of President Trump and comes with an outline of what appears to be a naked woman. Democrats on the U.S. House Oversight Committee posted this image today, saying it was President Trump's contribution to a 50th birthday gift book given to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003. In July, Trump denied making the sketch or the note and then filed a defamation lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal for reporting the note's existence.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt posted a statement today on X saying, quote, President Trump did not draw this picture and he did not sign it. The administration did have a big win, courtesy of the Supreme Court, which cleared the way for it to resume its sweeping immigration enforcement.